Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Matthew 7:1-3. Welcome back to Old Time Preaching, a short, powerful sermon that works. Honestly, this one's more for me than for you. I'm Tim, chief of the nobodies, the guy calling out the speck in someone else's eye while dragging around a whole lumberyard in my own. Jesus says, judge not. Simple, right? But somehow, we love pointing fingers while pretending we're flawless. Meanwhile, God sees it all, the mote, the beam, and our incredible knack for ignoring our own mess. Let's be real. If I spent half the time fixing my faults that I spend noticing others, I might actually get somewhere. So here's the point. Stop judging, start reflecting, and let's all work on carrying our beams with a bit more humility. There's an age-old saying, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. But if the Apostle Paul were here today, he might amend that to say, especially if the glass is already cracked. Romans 2 is Paul stepping into the courtroom of the human soul, looking us directly in the eye and declaring, so, you think you're a good judge, huh? Newsflash, you're just as guilty as the people you criticize. His words shine a light on our hypocrisy, our tendency to judge others while excusing ourselves, and our need to understand the justice and mercy of God. The human condition hasn't changed much since Paul's time. We're all quick to point out the flaws in others while ignoring our own glaring faults. That's why Romans 2 doesn't pull any punches. Paul dismantles every excuse we might make, showing that God's judgment is perfectly just, absolutely right, and graciously delayed to give us time to repent. God's judgment is just because He sees beyond the surface. Imagine scrolling through social media and coming across someone ranting about selfishness, only for them to post a vanity-filled selfie moments later. Hypocrisy, right? Paul captures this when he writes, "You have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things." We excel at spotting sin in others while turning a blind eye to our own. Think of the times we criticize someone for being dishonest while bending the truth ourselves, or when we get angry at a reckless driver only to justify our own speeding because we're in a rush. I think this one's for all you police officers out there wearing that badge of authority a little too comfortably. Let's be honest, how many of us have seen a patrol car make a U-turn right under a no U-turn sign, and they do it so casually? At least put your lights on to make it look official. Then there's the tailgating. Seriously, why are you guys practically sitting in people's trunks? And don't get me started on the speeding or the texting while driving. If any of us regular folks did it, we'd be pulled over faster than you can say, license and registration. Then you are standing outside my window, handing me a ticket and saying with a straight face, the law is the law, while trying not to burst out laughing. I get it. If I had a job where the standards were taken as seriously as Justin Trudeau takes free speech, I'd probably have to fight back a chuckle too. But let's be real for a second. When the people enforcing the rules don't follow them, it's hard not to notice the double standard. It's like being scolded for stealing cookies by someone with crumbs on their shirt. Romans 2:1 reminds us, wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. So, officers, maybe pause and think next time before pulling someone over for speeding while you're barreling down the highway yourself. Do you think the public doesn't notice? Oh, we see it. The hypocrisy is as clear as those flashing red and blue lights. The truth is, the system often feels unfair. One set of rules for the privileged, another for everyone else. The rich rarely see the inside of a courtroom, while the poor get stuck waiting in line for hours just to pay a ticket. God's word reminds us in James 3:1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Authority is a responsibility, not a free pass. Romans 13:4 says, "Officers are ministers of God to serve and protect." But that also means accountability to the same laws you enforce. So, a gentle reminder, if you're going to police others, start by policing yourselves. Because one day, you'll stand before the ultimate judge, and trust me, there won't be any flashing lights to explain away hypocrisy. This inconsistency shows that none of us live up to the standards we hold others to. God, however, judges with complete fairness. He sees every hidden motive, thought, and intention, things we can't even see in ourselves. But God's judgment isn't just fair, it's also unyieldingly right. Humans are experts at justifying their own actions while condemning others. We excuse our tempers by blaming stress, but we label someone else's outburst as unacceptable behavior. This double standard is what Paul addresses when he says, "We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things." God's judgment is based on truth, not excuses or justifications. Unlike us, he doesn't get swayed by emotions or circumstances. He sees through every rationalization to the heart of the matter. This truth applies to individuals and leaders alike. Paul's words, "Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" ring especially true today. Leaders are often the most visible examples of hypocrisy. They denounce wrongdoing but participate in it themselves. Take modern political figures like Justin Trudeau or Doug Ford, for example. They speak out against environmental harm while flying private jets. They condemn violence, yet support policies allowing abortion or medically assisted death, which is simply a sanitized term for taking a life. They impose taxes on ordinary citizens while living in luxury, justifying their actions as necessary for the greater good. Their hypocrisy mirrors the self-serving leaders of Paul's time, who burdened the public while exempting themselves from accountability. Martin Luther once pointed out that leaders who fail to protect, serve, and bring justice to their people are guilty of theft, no matter how they justify their actions. Today's leaders are no different. God sees it all, and his judgment will hold them accountable. While they may escape earthly consequences, they won't evade the righteous judgment of heaven. This inescapable judgment reminds me of a vivid illustration from the prophet Amos. He describes someone fleeing a lion, only to run into a bear. They escape the bear but lean against a wall and get bitten by a snake. It's a stark, almost comical depiction of the futility of trying to outrun divine judgment. No matter how far we run or how many excuses we craft, God's justice will find us. Yet amidst this certainty of judgment, there's a twist. God's judgment is delayed. Paul asks, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" God's delay isn't approval of our actions. It's an act of mercy. He's giving us time to see the error of our ways, turn to him, and accept his grace. Think of it like hitting every green light on the way to work when you're running late. Instead of recognizing the blessing, we often chalk it up to luck. That's how we treat God's patience, assuming it means we're off the hook. But every moment of mercy is a chance to reflect and ask, "Am I on the right path?"